Speaking on this program is Brother Tony Lawrence.
How joyful it is to be a preacher. Now, I don't know if all of you know that not only do I enjoy what I do, but I get a lot of privileges that a lot of other people don't get to enjoy. One of them is many times is getting to see people come and say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and to see them baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. And I'm so thankful this afternoon that we had another sister added to the Lord's body. And I am so thankful that the angels of heaven rejoice over this. And I hope that you will let Jamie know how much you appreciate her this evening as you leave the building, and let her know that we're glad that we have another sister in Christ. That's such a privilege. And it's a privilege to preach, too. Sometimes the sermons that you preach, you know, are going to be encouraging. Sometimes you know the lessons are going to be those that give you a boost and make it easy. And then there's times you know you're going to step on toes. Folks, tonight is the step on toes night. So if you did not wear your steel-toed shoes, then I feel sorry for you, because I'm going to deal with a lesson tonight with one of the subjects that really hits home. It's a subject which I don't believe there's any of us do not struggle to some degree in dealing with gossip and dealing with tale-bearing, dealing with being a busybody. And I know that we have to fight against that. We have to fight against that kind of attitude. But this subject needs to be studied. We need to understand it. But there's also the importance of our trying to find solutions to the problems. And it's my judgment that God's Word provides a solution for every problem that we face in life. Our difficulty is sometimes just seeing what God's Word says on the subject. Tonight's lesson is only going to have 2 points. I may not be as long as I have been over on some of the last few lessons. But I want us to talk about the Bible descriptions of the busybody. And then number two, I would like for us to look at the Bible solution, and as Brother Larry put it, to be a busy body. And we'll talk about those two things tonight. Let's begin, first of all, with the idea of busybodies. The Bible, and God knew man's inclination and warned against being a busybody or a gossip. In fact, there are a number of passages which address this subject, but let me begin, first of all, with Exodus chapter 23 and verse 1. After giving the law that was contained in commandments, the Ten Commandments in Exodus chapter 20, Moses, by God's direction, began to list a number of individual items that a person must do or must not do. And in chapter 23 and verse 1, he says, "You shall not circulate a false report. Do not put your hand with the wicked to be an unrighteous witness." Notice that first phrase there, "You shall not circulate." Circulate. That means to pass it here, pass it around until it comes back to you. To circulate a false report. To say something about others that is not true, that's not right. As I go to Psalms 15, verses 1 through 3, David is talking about who shall dwell in the Lord's holy hill, who will enjoy God's blessings. And he talks about the good things that one might do. And then he makes this comment in verse 3. "He who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against his friend." The first part of verse 3. Doesn't backbite. He's not someone who says something, has something said about him. And then he says, you know what? I'll give them a taste of their own medicine. I'll see if they like rumors being started about them. I'll see if they like someone to say the same kind of things about them. And then the latter part of verse 3, to take up a reproach against his neighbor. To take it up means to pick it up here and to say, you see what I found? Here, let me give it to you. To take a gossip, to take a message, to take a rumor and pass it along. You don't do that. But I can hear someone now saying, you know what? I don't tell things that are false. I tell things that are true. I heard this about somebody, and I know that's the fact. I'm not doubtful about that. I'm not circulating a false report, as Exodus 23 verse 1 says. I'm not taking up a reproach against my neighbor. But let me point out to you that circulating true things for the purpose of gossip is just as wrong. When I go to Proverbs 11, verse 13, here's what Solomon says. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Here's a situation where something is true. It's a secret. And it says that the righteous man conceals the matter. Let me just use an illustration of something that might come under this kind of situation. Here's a wife, and she has learned that her husband has committed fornication. She learns that he has been unfaithful to her. She is struggling with that in her life. She doesn't know what to do and how to deal with this matter. So she goes to her best friend and she says to her, my husband's been unfaithful to me. And I'm so embarrassed. I am so sad that all of this has happened. And then that best friend goes and says, hey, have you heard? Her husband's running around her. Hey, have you heard this? Let me tell you how bad he was. And next thing you know, her embarrassment has spread and she didn't do anything wrong. Yes, it was true. A talebearer reveals secrets. But he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. Not concealing wrong from God, not concealing wrong from it being repented, but being a talebearer. In Proverbs chapter 16, beginning with verse 27, an ungodly man digs up evil, and it is on his lips like a burning fire. A perverse man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. I don't know how many times I've used verse 28 in lessons. I don't know why I'd never taken notice of verse 27 in context here. But an ungodly man digs up evil. He's looking for it. He's trying to find it here. And it's on his lips like a burning fire. I've got to get it off. I don't know if you're like me. Occasionally, I like to eat pizza. Not much, but occasionally. One of the things I will invariably do is get it when it's real hot, put it in my mouth, and it'll start burning, and then I'm trying to get it out of my mouth. And he is giving a picture here of a person who's just dug up this juicy gossip. And what's he doing? It's so hot, it's like burning. He's trying to get rid of it. You see the description in the Bible of a person who's a talebearer, who's a gossip, who's a busybody. Those who practice this get good at getting information. They develop a talent for it. They know how to fish. They know how to talk to you and try to find out what's on your mind and what's been happening in your life. Listen to Proverbs 20 and verse 19. He who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. You read that verse two or three times. Look at it on the screen. Notice the way Solomon puts it. This talebearer is going to reveal the secrets. Well, how is he going to find out your secrets? How is he going to find out the thing? It says, therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. Oh, I tell you what, you're one of the brightest people I know. You're connected really well. What have you heard lately? And then you say, well, I heard this. Shouldn't have told it. You shouldn't have told it. They meddle. And the Bible has the words for meddling. In Proverbs 26 and verse 17, he who passes by and meddles with a quarrel not his own is like one who takes a dog by the ears. He's walking along and he sees something going on over here. He's going to interject himself into that. He meddles in it. Or as Peter put it in 1 Peter 4:15, but let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer. Now the New King James says, or as a busybody in other people's matters. The American Standard says as a meddler. That's what that original word means. It's somebody who meddles in somebody else's business. There are some things that are your business and not mine. There are some things that are my business and not yours. And the Bible describes people who meddle in other people's matters and their affairs. And they have no business doing so. And they take what they learn and they spread that gossip all around. And what they reveal hurts people. I would dare say that anybody who is of teenage age or above has been hurt at one point or another by things that other people have said to them or about them. Let me carry you to a passage like Proverbs 18, verse 8. The words of a talebearer are tasty trifles. They go down to the innermost body. Tasty trifles. There's some things that are so good, but when they get down, they just don't feel so good. They go down to the innermost body. There's some people who know how to cut you really, really deep. In fact, David will describe this in Psalm 64, verse 3. He said, who sharpened their tongue like a sword and bend their bows to shoot arrows, bitter words. Bitter. And they hurt. And people are stung by them. You see, when I go to the Bible, I don't have a trouble understanding the description of a busybody. It's a person who talks about things they ought not to be talking about. They meddle in other people's matters. They tell and circulate stories that are not true. They circulate secrets that should never be told. Well now, if I understand that, and I think I do, and I think you do, how are we going to deal with it? What is the solution from God's Word for me, for you, in trying to avoid doing things like this? Well, I'm going to tell you that number one, and what brought about this title, is idleness is a great cause. Too much unproductive time on one's hands will cause one to get involved in things that he ought not be involved in. I looked up on the internet the phrase, idle mind is a devil's workshop. And there's so many links to it, I couldn't read them all. And the reason why is because there's a lot of people got a lot of time to do things they ought not be doing. Let me carry to the Bible. The Bible teaches this. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, let me give you the context so you'll understand. 1 Timothy 5, Paul is talking about widows and how these widows should be taken care of. In the first part of the chapter, he's talked about those who are widows indeed. That is, they're really widows. They don't have anybody to take care of. They don't have a husband. Obviously, they're not, or wouldn't be a widow. They don't have children. They are indeed widows. But what about those younger women who are widows? Maybe their husband was killed in a tragic accident. They're young and they're still of childbearing age. Here's what he says. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, and not only idle, but gossips and busybodies, saying things which they ought not. Therefore, I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some have already turned aside after Satan. What is he really saying? What's his point? If you take a young lady who's of childbearing age, she has no responsibilities, she has no obligations, she has nothing, she has energy, she has time. He said, because of that, they learn to be idle. They learn to be unproductive. And so because they don't have anything to do, they wander about from house to house. And what do they do when they go from house to house? He says, they become gossips and busybodies. They spread the message that they ought not be spreading. You see and understand what he's talking about? How idleness, how lack of effort. So what's the solution? He says, I want them to marry. I want them to rear children. Believe me, if you're a mother of a young child, the last thing that you have is time to be a busybody. By the time you take care of those children, and you do, as Paul describes here, managing the house, then you're not going to give an opportunity for the devil. The passage that Brother Shannon read just a few moments ago. Let's go back there to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Now, there's a problem that has developed between 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. The problem that evidently arose was is that in 1 Thessalonians chapters 4 and 5, Paul talked about the Lord's second coming. And evidently some drew the conclusion that it was imminent, that it was going to take place just right then. And Paul had to come along and say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, no, it's not going to take place until the falling away occurs. Chapter 2. And then he says in verse 10, for even when we were with you, we commanded you this, if any will not work, neither let him eat. For we hear there are some among you who are in a disorderly manner, not working at all, but are busybodies. Now those who are such, we command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness and eat their own bread. What does Paul say that these people do? Once they become idle, once they quit working, then they become busybodies. Just like the case in 1 Timothy chapter 5. You don't have anything to do, then you become a busybody. And what was the solution? We command and exhort through our Lord Jesus Christ that they work in quietness. Either you will be a busybody or a busy body. It's just that simple. Proverbs 26, verse 20 says, where there is no wood, the fire goes out, and where there's no talebearer, strife ceases. If everybody was busy, then you wouldn't have time for any busybodies. James chapter 3, beginning with verse 5, I think it's very interesting. James 3 has been talking about the tongue and how that a man uses it. And he says very simply, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. see how great of a forest a little fire kindles. You know, our tongues are just really small. One of the smallest parts of our body. That tongue, just like a small match, can set thousands of acres on fire and burn and burn and do tremendous amounts of destruction. That little tongue in our mouths can do tremendous amounts of harm and a lot of discouragement. Let me give you an illustration that is real. In Nehemiah chapter 6, the children of Israel had returned from the captivity. Nehemiah, who was King Artaxerxes' cupbearer, was so depressed because the walls of the city were lying in ruins. He had asked of the king to be able to go back and to repair the walls. And they came back and they worked and they worked and they worked. There was three guys by the name of Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem who were just trying to frustrate them at every turn, at every corner. And when you come to chapter 6, an interesting thing happens. It says, "Then Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, 'Come and let us meet together among the villages on the plain of Ono.'" But Nehemiah interjects, "But they thought to do me harm. So I sent messengers to them, saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?' But they sent this message four times, and I answered them in the same manner." Nehemiah said, "They wanted me to quit working to come and talk." And he said, "I told them, I don't have time to talk." Folks, let me tell you something. If someone approaches you with a gossip, don't have time for them. As you go further, "Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. It is written, it is reported among the nations, and Geshem says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, 'There's a king in Judah.' Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together." Let me tell you something. You don't spread our rumors, we'll start one on you. Good thing, O King, or not King Nehemiah, the governor Nehemiah. "Then I sent him, saying, 'No such things you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart.'" That's really what rumors are. People invent them. "For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying, 'Their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done.' Now, therefore, O God, strengthen my hands." Idleness is a problem for busybodies. The solution? Work. Number two, say something good. That's not too hard, is it? Try to find a way to say something good. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. "Walk in wisdom toward those who are the outside, redeeming the time. Let your speech always be with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer each one." Let your speech be such that you can say something good about people. Say something to lift somebody else up. You don't have to use your tongue for bad. Use it for good. Deuteronomy 6, 6 through 9. "Well, what am I going to talk about then? Well, 'And these words which I command you this day shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children. You shall talk about them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hands and in frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorpost of your house and on your gates." What did he say? Let Scripture, let God's Word be on your tongues. Will people think you're crazy? Yes, they will. But you know what? When this life is over, people are going to look back and say, you know what? I used to think they were crazy. Now I found out they were some of the smartest people I ever knew. Because on their tongue was the Word of God. Psalms 37, verse 30, David writes, "The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongues talk of justice." Let people be able to hear you say something worth something. A lot of what men say today is just absolutely worthless. Be better left unsaid. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom. His tongue talks of justice. He talks of good things. I used Proverbs 31, verse 26 yesterday afternoon, Sister Pearl Biddle's memorial service. And the description of a godly woman, she opens her mouth with wisdom, and the law of kindness is on her tongue. She's a person who knows what to say, how to say it, when to say it, and the way to say it. And that is what our tongues ought to be doing. Before you speak, think. Now, I know for most of us, including myself, if you are talking, I'm already trying to think what I want to say before you finish saying what you're saying. Does that describe you? It does me. So that when you take a breath, I can be able to say what I want to say. It would be valuable if we listened to what James said, "Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath, for the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God." Learn to say something good. Learn in being busy to say something good. When somebody leaves, are they going to leave with a positive word, or are they going to be left with a negative word? Keep busy, and you won't have time for all the idle talk. I want to end with one last verse. Matthew 12, verse 36. Let me briefly just tell you the context. Jesus arrives and these people hate Him. They hate what He's doing. They hate how He stands. And one of the things that Jesus is facing is these people are accusing Him of casting out demons by the power of Beelzebub. And Jesus has to respond to them by what they're saying and points out to them that what you say you better be careful of. Verse 36, He says, "But I say to you that every idle word men may speak, they will give an account of it in the day of judgment." I should have put verse 37 with, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." Tonight, I want you to understand, this lesson was not to browbeat. This lesson was for us to understand there's a challenge for us to either be a busybody or a busy body. Tonight, if you're not a Christian, you can become one. You can confess your faith in Christ because you believe in Jesus and you are willing to repent of your sins. We'll be glad tonight to be able to immerse you in water for the remission of your sins. What a great thought to have two, three people obedient to the gospel today. If you've been thinking about it, why not tonight? If you're a child of God and there is sin in your life and you need to correct it, this is an opportunity. We will pray with you. We'll pray for you. And God will forgive you. While we stand.